The Serial Killer Podcast, hosted by me, Thomas Vyborg Thune, is the podcast dedicated to serial killers, who they were, what they did, and how. Join me as I sit down bi-weekly to bring you, dear listener, into the dark land of serial murder and psychopathy. The show goes into graphic detail on the most infamous and lesser-known serial killers from around the world, with each episode covering one unique serial killer. So far, the show has covered serial killer superstars such as BTK, Jeffrey Dahmer, and the Yorkshire Ripper, and lesser-known killers such as Elias Abuelazam and Anatoly Onoprienko. Be advised, this show is not for children, as it takes you deep into the twisted world of ultimate evil. You can find me exclusively at podcastone.com or on the new Podcast One app. Also, don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, it's Phil Hendry, and all of the voices you're about to hear on this show are done by me.
Yes, sir. This is General Kalen Shaw.
And I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm Bud Dickman.
Robert Leonard. And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, and we're just about ready to get... I guess we're getting ready for Halloween or something.
Well, I thought I'd show on the screen here for our BSPs. This is for our subscribers only. I happen to have the TV on to a Horror of Dracula.
That's pretty bitchin' looking.
No, that's Christopher Lee.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Oh, well, this is one of Christopher Lee's triumphs, as you... Excuse the pronunciation, but...
Why you do it like that?
Because it's theatrical, bud. All right, I don't have to explain everything to you. It's theatrical.
Yeah.
It's theatrical.
All right, Margaret.
Well, he's always asking these questions. Why you do this? It is the theatrical way of pronouncing... This is one of Christopher Lee's triumphs.
You just called him Christopher Lee.
I most certainly did not...
You did, Mar. You went Christopher Lee's, but you misspoke. It's all right.
Boy, you guys are really asking for... You really want $300 worth?
Margaret, we're just... We're commenting on what you said, because Christopher Lee is an important actor.
Yeah, sure. Look at this guy.
What?
Like you care.
I do.
What I'm trying to say to you monkeys is that Christopher Lee, of all of the garbage, well...
Oh, see, of all the garbage he did at least one movie.
I didn't mean to say that. What I meant to say is this. Christopher Lee has found newfound respect. Is he still alive?
Margaret, don't you even know that?
I don't know. Look it up, bud.
Yes, ma'am.
Christopher Lee has found newfound respect, and he found it...
In a foundry.
F it.
Hey, Margaret.
No, I mean it.
Margaret, you know what? You dig the hole for yourself. All I did was give you a little push.
Well, thank you very much, Ishmael. What up?
All right. Whatever that means.
Sounds better than what he said.
Margaret Gray with us here. She's walking out the door.
You know what I'm doing? I'm looking for, bud.
Bounty towels.
You got it.
You're not using that as toilet paper, are you?
What an asshole. You'd announce that to everyone.
She does, and she jams the toilet up. Go ahead, bud. So anyway, welcome to our show, the Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, so as a couple of laughs, I've got the, what the hell have I got on here?
Horror of Dracula.
Yeah, Horror of Dracula. Even though it's far away from, it's not even close to Halloween, is it?
Well, it's a couple of weeks, Jesus.
I want in on this. It's a couple of weeks. By the way, that wall costume.
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding? With whoever came up with that, you people that are in the costume business, the wall. So it's someone wearing a cardboard. It looks funky. It's funkadelia.
Yeah, it's not even... Well, here's what they did is they I guess the wall is supposedly a Halloween costume. Like you could wear that and everybody's going to go, oh, ha, ha, you know, it's...
All right, so what is it?
It's just a bunch of, like, it's a cardboard thing you put on over your head. And it's got brick formations.
Yeah, it's got, like, painted like a brick.
And it's the dopiest thing you've ever seen in your life, and I don't know. I pray God, as William Holden said in The Towering Inferno, we can only pray to God that we never see its like again. I'm Margaret Gray.
Okay.
What the hell does that mean?
You never saw Towering Inferno?
I saw Towering Inferno. I never heard him say God.
William Holden very clearly says, why do I waste my time on you chump chimps?
Okay, so it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Look at him laughing at that.
Margaret, sit back down, please.
Don't point to the chair and direct me as if I'm a child.
Sit down, please.
Okay.
So what we're going to do here tonight is try to get through this mess and then blow our brains out at the other end of it.
God, Mr. Henry, what a terrible thing to say.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, but you can't be kidding about that stuff anymore.
Why can't I be kidding about that stuff anymore?
Well, you know, the people are taking it seriously. They think because you... when you busted up with Maria again for the second time...
Oh, hold on for just a minute.
Phil, there's no point in denying it.
Wait. What do you mean I busted up with Maria for the second time?
Everybody knows that when you said the thing you said the other night, you know...
Yeah, the thing you said.
Everyone knows.
Everyone knows what?
You busted up with her.
I wasn't with her in the first place.
Oh, you weren't with her in the... That's why you were planning a safari to South Africa. Oh!
Jesus H, Margaret.
Well, I want to make my point.
I bought a safari to South Africa at the...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go on. We're waiting.
At the thing, man. At the thing. The thing.
What?
The thing!
You mean... I'm talking about the chunky thing.
At the chunky chimp?
What is the chunky chimp?
Wasn't that the banquet you went to?
It was a banquet for chunky chimps.
No, it wasn't. It was for orangutans.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And you bought that safari at the orangutan banquet.
It wasn't a banquet. It was a party, and people were there to perform.
I thought it was a banquet table with a bunch of monkeys sitting at it, and I don't mean monkey, I mean you human monkeys, sitting around and toasting each other about how your stuff doesn't stink, and you rehabilitate monks.
Shit.
You laugh at me one more time.
You'll what?
Nothing.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
Hey. Now listen to me. What are you talking about? It's just because I bought that thing at the auction?
You bought that auction. You were going to go down to South Africa with her. You're going to strap an apartheid tag on her. I'm only kidding, Robert.
Yeah, don't joke about that stuff.
I'm sorry. You were going to go down and do that safari.
I was going to go on. I'm still going to go on a safari. I bought myself a damn safari. I'm going down to South Africa. Okay? Whether you like it or not.
Oh, and I suppose you're going by yourself. Oh, wow. What a loser you are.
That's right. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll go to South Africa by myself.
Plan on meeting somebody down there, huh?
No, I'm going to go down and take pictures of all the elephants and all the, all the monkeys and whether they're chunky or not. And then I'll come back and I'll share them with,
We really think that it's important. So Dave Castorini is going to come on anyway, folks, and talk about that.
What is he going to talk about?
He's going to talk about what is the advisability. I know that you hooked up with her.
I didn't hook up. We got together again.
You almost. In fact, you did belch.
Yeah, you did, Phil, because that's... Yep, that's beef gravy.
Will you come on, man? No, I did not. And we got together because she'd been going through her surgery and I was helping out during her rehab.
All right, and then things got friendly, right?
Things got... We talked. There you go. We talked.
You're too nervous. You're fumbling about him. Look at. Looks like there's a stain for him. Never mind.
God damn, you're looking at his crotch and everything, Miss Gray.
No, I was not.
Break it up, man.
Went for my throat.
You wish I went for your throat.
Looked to me like you went for the ball sack of the boy. Good Christ in heaven.
How dare you?
All right, sit down, you guys. Wait a minute. Now, let's be reasonable about this.
About this? We've got Dave Castorini coming on. He'll sort it out. I'm Margaret Gray. Now let's go over to Bob Bacon.
Wait a minute. I'm the guy that does that, okay?
I said let's go over to Bob Bacon right now. He's at the...
Phil Henry Show.
Hey, wait a second, man. Wait.
And right now, the compound is in shape. And the game's going 15 freeway right on 12th Avenue.
Hey, Bob.
And I'm much better ahead of the Skyboy.
Hey, Skyboy.
Sky Baby.
Sky Baby. Sky Baby.
Later for you, chump. Boy, Sky Baby, sweet man, you say something?
Famous Phil Henry Show invites you to get a backstage pass and become a monthly or yearly subscriber to the greatest radio show, the greatest radio material, the greatest website, the greatest of everything. It's real Grady, man.
That's right. It ain't Wayne Grady. It's Grady Grady. It's Old Man Grady, and it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show website. You'll get 30,000 hours of all the great archives and the brand-new Miami archives, as well as all of the live streaming events we have on Sunday night, and, of course, a backstage chat on Friday night.
You mean on Friday night?
Yeah, it's a Friday night.
Yes, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The backstage pass at philhenryshow.com. That's really where it am is.
God damn, play guitar much? Oh, tune that thing, will you?
Getting tired of this God is dead stuff.
It's not God is dead, it's Johnny's dead.
Well,
it does sound a bit like God is dead.
It ain't. It's Johnny's dead.
Well, who's Johnny? It may be a metaphor.
Yeah, it's true, sir.
Okay, well, why don't you guys write a letter to the band? It's called, that's Two Guns, okay?
Oh, that's Two Guns. I like that.
Then it's all right?
Yeah, I think I'll let it pass.
Yeah, I'll let it slide.
Welcome back, Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Here, as we mentioned, we are on our way to, it's such a festive time of the year, isn't it, the fall? We have Halloween, we got Thanksgiving, we have Christmas, and then we have New Year's.
Well, New Year's technically is no longer the fall, and neither is Christmas. It is the wintertime, but the point is well made. It is festive, it's joyous. We celebrate the...
Why do we celebrate? Because it's fall time. It's not the summer.
Well, but I think we celebrate, and it's a good question... We celebrate the end of the year because we look back on the year that has just been lived, and we live...
Yeah?
I'm trying to...
Trying to come up with something, huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, let's say it's...
I know. It is the fall solstice. It's the winter solstice. It's all that stuff, you know? It's all that pagan jazz.
Oh, yeah, the pagans. Now, aren't they the ones that were going to turn Christmas into Yule? And then Yul Brynner.
Isn't that marvelous?
All right. Yul Brynner. What do you mean Yul Brynner?
What about Yul?
Yul, the pagan celebration of Yul.
Yeah.
Yeah, that ain't Yul Brynner. That's the Yul Brynner's an actor.
Oh. You thought the name of the holiday was Yul Brynner?
General, you're not that nuts, are you? I mean, I know you're losing it.
No, I'm pretty sure now I remember Yul Brynner from The Marvelous Seven or something like that.
Yeah, Yul is the time... Yule is that time of year that was celebrated of the pagans. Now, a lot of people are bringing it back, or were, until we just heard the president say that he'd like us to start saying Merry Christmas.
But can't we say, like, you know, Merry Christmas and also the happiest of Yules?
Well, people used to do that. Aren't they allowed anymore?
I don't know. I don't know what... I was going to say Rump.
It's a good name for him.
No, that's disrespectful, Mr. Senator.
Yeah, it is.
I made a mistake, okay? President Trump, I think, wants everybody to get used to saying Merry Christmas. So I think Yule's out, Jack. And Kwanzaa, out, Jack. And Ramadan, out, Jack.
What do you mean Ramadan and all that's out?
Well, I don't know, but he just doesn't want...
What he's going to do, you know what he's going to do? He's going to put a manger in the town square. And then when someone starts to complain about it, he'll say, oh, yeah? What do you want to do about it?
Oh, so it's no longer the separation of church and state.
That's exactly what's going to happen. I think he's looking for a fight on this thing. I think he's walking up. He's got the big chip on the shoulder, like the old AA batter, and he's going to say, knock it off. You know?
What?
Fuck.
Hey. All right, Dave Castorini's going to join us. This has got nothing to do with Yule, does it?
No, but Dave is, he is on to give a little bit of spiritual advice, I look forward to hearing from Dave. By the way, he's at a party. Let me get him on the phone. David, how are you? Are you there?
Hello, Margaret. Yes, I am. We're in the youth center right now. We're just celebrating someone's birthday tonight, John Cole, who is just turning 22 years of age. He's been with our youth ministry now for the last 2 years. And Merry Christmas. Happy birthday to you, John, wherever he is right now.
Oh, so that's a birthday party you're at.
It is a birthday party, and we got a lot of the young people that work as counselors at our youth ministry. There's John Bocco is there, and John Cole is it's his birthday, 22 years.
But he's been there for like 2 years or three.
Robert was the one who introduced me to John. Where'd you know him from?
Well, I mean, I just knew him, you know. He'd been writing letters to the station, wrote some emails to us. And he was very unhappy, you know. He didn't like black people and stuff, but I started talking to him, you know. I said, why don't you go talk to Dave Castorini?
He didn't like black people.
Yeah, he was openly racist, you know.
Well, we have John here. We counseled him. And he is now one of the most accepting and lovely young people we've got. He works right alongside of all of our youth, our youth counselors and youth ministers. He works alongside of Reggie Dawson, who is white. He's not black. I said Reggie Dawson because I thought he was black, but he's actually white. But he works with some of the black kids. I just don't know. Their names are escaping me right now.
Right, but this kid came to you a full-blown racist, huh?
He did. And Robert, where'd you know him from?
I met him at school. And he and I were having a couple of words, and I finally talked to him. I said, you know, you need God, man. He said, you know, maybe I do.
He at least he recognized that he did need God. I think that's the first step for a lot of these racists and all of these people who have these ugly, ugly feelings in their heart. You know, General?
Absolutely. I would 100% subscribe to that. And I think that once you do get a little bit of the good old time religion in, well, friend, you're living large. I'm looking at something on TV right now. It's a fight between the Colorado Avalanche.
Looks like it's an old fight. Who is that guy?
It looks like some clown was waving his stick around. 2003? What the hell?
Oh, those are the old Coyote uniforms.
Oh, are you watching hockey or something? I'm talking about God. I'm talking about race relations, and you got hockey up there.
I'm sorry. We're talking here with Dave Castorini.
Turn that music down.
I'm at a party right now, if you don't mind. There's people playing it and dancing to it and everything.
Well, all of this is all well and good, but we didn't call up to talk to you about that. We called up to talk to you about Phil Hendry and the truncated relationship he has with Maria, his ex-wife. It looked like it was heating up.
No, it did not look like it was heating up.
Yeah, it really did, Mr. Hendry.
Well, they called me about this, Phil. I want to just ask you a couple questions. Since you were planning on going to Africa with her on a safari, right?
We were going to go down there as friends, yeah.
As friends or as what?
As we were looking into the possibility of getting back together. How about that?
Aha, uh-huh. So there it is.
You know, you can lie to some of the people, Phil, but you can't lie to some of all of the people.
Yeah.
Boy, that sounds almost as smart as Bud.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of a cold shot.
Wow.
Boy, Phil, that is a cold shot. I mean, if you want to say he's as smart as Bud.
What I meant to say was that it wasn't too bright.
Yeah, see?
Well, what do you mean you can lie to almost some of the people?
I'm simply trying to quote Abraham Lincoln when he said very famously, forget it, man. It's got nothing to do with you. That's for damn sure. Abraham Lincoln is a volcano surrounded by ants.
I heard that. I'd go with that one.
Okay, that's fine. So I'm the ant and...
You're not the only one.
What, does that make me an ant?
Can we get back to what we're talking about, which is still spiritual salvation?
I don't think that's what we're talking about.
I don't want to talk about that. But if you want to talk about the relationship with Maria, which is a friendly relationship,
But you were looking to heat that thing up, right?
What do you mean heat it up, man? We were looking to reinvestigate the possibilities of things, you know?
Yeah, man, because you're over there helping her out.
Well, you know, Phil, it's not unusual for anybody in your position or in Maria's position, if the situation was reversed and she was trying to help you, you were rehabbing from surgery, or so on and so forth. Hold on for a minute. Tell me, what is that smell? It smells like it smells like old socks or diapers. What is that, man?
I'm trying to look it up.
Hold on, Phil, if you don't mind.
All right, but I got a show I'm doing.
I understand that, boy. God damn, excuse me, I just said that you took the Lord's name.
Yes, you did.
I'm sorry. What is that stink? It smells like a diaper. It smells like a diaper. I'm not kidding. Phil, just bear with me.
Well, we may have to discontinue.
Just bear with me. Oh, man, who took their underwear off? It smells like it's loaded. I'll be right with you, Phil, 10 seconds. Johnny? John's with our security. It smells like someone's underwear is loaded. Well, I want to find out. I want you now to find out. I don't care if you got to look down pants.
What did you say?
I'm sorry. I've got a lot of young people. Some of them are living homeless. Some of them are here at the youth ministry. Some of them are in shelters. And some of them just don't have hygiene. But I don't think this is one of the homeless kids. I think this might be, because these are all our counselors. But one of our counselors has got a loaded underwear. They're got a loaded diaper on them, whether they're wearing it.
What do you mean they're wearing it?
I don't know. As you know, Phil, we have a liberal policy here in terms of sex, because I believe you can find your way to God through, yes, the physical act of sex. So sometimes we're more liberal in some other places. And as a result, you have people here experimenting with diapers. All right. I'm not about to judge a man.
With diapers.
Oh, my God. You know something? I don't care if you allow experimentation. That is vile.
I'm sorry, Ms. Gray, but when I said to the kids, we open up this center, and I said, we will be liberal, we will experiment, but remember the goal is God. And I remember saying to them, somebody in the back said, can we load up a diaper? And I said, you go to hell. I told a kid to go straight to hell. And he said, that may well be, and I may wind up there, Reverend Castorini, but can we load up a diaper? And I said, you just go to hell.
So he didn't say no.
Yeah, you know, pretty much he took that to mean yes.
He took it to mean yes.
Well, that's really interesting, Dave, and I'd love to talk more with you about it, but that ain't what we're talking about. I don't even really want to talk about what it is we're talking about.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, you're talking about Phil and Maria.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But can we get back to it?
Of course. But what I'm saying, Phil, is this. When are you going to take her to South Africa with you on a safari? You two were married at one time. And when you got together with her and she was rehabbing from that surgery, what were you thinking?
What I was thinking was that I was very proud of her for going back to school. I was very proud of what she'd been able to achieve through all of that pain, all of that agony, man, of walking around needing those hips replaced. I mean, she had bone-on-bone arthritis. I'm sorry to say it, folks. It's,
oh, my God.
It is. It's tough to hear. But that's what it was. I said to myself, if I can make anything easier for her, I'd like to. And I asked her if she'd allow me, and she said yes. And so that was it. And I would help her to places. We would go to dinner. I asked her if she wanted me to go shopping for her. She didn't. She did it on her own. I was willing to take her to school. She went to school. So what I did do is showed up on the weekends and took her out to dinner. And
well, right there, didn't you see? So she didn't have you really doing a lot of utility stuff. She had you doing a lot of social stuff.
That was my point exactly.
Right. And you should have seen that.
No, wait a minute. Should have seen what?
That she, you, were you, did she have you taking her out and... Did she have you going out and doing a shopping?
No, she did not. But, you know, the other things that I did with her, I took her, yes, I took her to, we went to dinner, we went to breakfast, we went to lunch, a lot of things like that. You know, I picked her up at some of the things that she had to do. If she didn't have her car, I would pick her up and take her to some other event.
All right, so some of it, though, was utility. Some of it had to do with her profession, but most of it had to do with a social etiquette, as taking her out to social places.
Yeah, right there. You know, that's a very good point. I didn't think of that. You took her to dinner. How many times did you tweet from that place, the grill on the alley? Jesus.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry that I did, because I got Ted Bell pissed off.
Oh, I know. The grill on the alley is fantastic. You took her to dinner there a couple times.
Yes, we went to dinner. We went a lot of places, okay? We went to dinner. We went to a lot of places. And then and I took her to surgery. I took her to the hospital. I took her to... Actually, she was taken to rehab. I picked her up at rehab, brought her back to my house. She stayed at my house for a month or so while she was recouping, going through a physical therapy.
All right. Now, you had her at your home, right? Were you sleeping in the same bed?
No, I wasn't. And you know something? It's none of your business.
They called me up. They said, I'm sorry. Hold on for a minute.
What we called you to say, David?
Hold on for 1 minute. I'm smelling a diaper. How do you know, diaper? How do I know it's a diaper? It smells like diaper. We got a situation, Phil. I'm smelling loaded diaper.
What is loaded dipe?
I'm sorry, we use a shorthand for it.
I got to tell you something, Reverend Castorini, with all due respect, sir, you being a minister, a religious minister.
Yeah?
Well, I think it's a little weird that you cats have shorthand for diaper and loaded diaper.
It's not shorthand. We had a situation we encountered where we needed to communicate more quickly. It's a long story. Where'd you find it? All right, they did. They found it like someone threw it and they left. Do you know who? All right, we got a couple we have to chase down. Someone tossed a loaded diaper right over here in the corner of the, near the kitchen. And then someone saw, what was it, a two-tone Pontiac take off.
A two-tone Pontiac?
Well, Phil, you know what? It's my life.
What do you find so funny about that?
Somebody tossed a loaded diaper.
What an asshole, man. Boy, that's too bad, you know?
Hey, Reverend Castorini, that's not language, I don't think, for a youth minister. I could be wrong.
All right, Phil, then try not to push my buttons, okay? Because you're so far up my nose.
You just went, okay?
Yeah, you did.
I meant to say okay.
I'm so far up your nose, you can feel my boots on your chin.
That's right. How'd you know?
Because you used that line before.
No, I didn't. Another character did. Your move.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Yeah.
He does this a lot, Reverend Castorini. He thinks he's got us, then he realizes he doesn't have us, because in point of fact, he's talking to himself.
That is the problem with you. And that's, you can have that problem. God damn.
And you got to say, God damn, don't you?
That's right.
Reverend Dave Castorini is our special, or has been, our special guest here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We appreciate you very much coming on and counseling me about my relationship with Maria.
Well, I just got to know one thing. Are you guys still together or what?
We're not, no, as a matter of fact. And we have no plans of getting back together and being married again. It was a situation where I was there at hand, as they say, and Maria was there, and we're friends, and that's as it should be.
Yeah, well, something about that...
It sounds rotten. It really sounds rotten, Phil. Just, whew. You know, it's, as long as we're talking about the full, what is the word you use? The full dipe?
Hold on. Let's put that on again. Yeah, I like that. I like dancing to this song.
But you said the full dipe?
Yeah, the full dipe. It sounds to me, Phil, like you filled one up and you're waving in front of my face going, dee, 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 dee.
Okay, man. Well, you dance on.
Are you making fun of that?
Isn't it your favorite song?
What?
Is this your favorite song?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Return of the Mac. And I'm just kind of slow. I'm slow grooving right now. I got my swerve on. Yeah.
And what kind of a youth ministry is this, man? You counsel weird sex habits like full diapers. You're out there kind of getting your swerve on. Are you drinking?
Yeah. Oh, my. What's wrong with a scotch?
You're having a scotch. Are the kids drinking?
Not the underage ones are, but the ones over 21, 21 and over, unless they're from a state that allows it at 18.
Unless they're from a state that allows it at 18.
We got a couple of kids from Louisiana, so we let them go ahead and get their swerve on. I got to tell you something, Phil. I'm very bit. God damn, it's another duck.
Thank you very much, Dave Castorini.
You're very rude to him. Why?
Because he sounds like an idiot. Are you kidding?
Hey, talk about the guy sounds like a moron. Talk about a full dipe.
He's talking about trying to guide children through a very difficult time in their lives, the youth period. That's why it's a youth ministry. And this is what he's doing. And you are harassing him because of this diaper business. If he smells a full dipe, he smells...
What are you using dipe for?
All right, I'm sorry. If he smells a full diaper...
If he's got full diapers around... Man, forget it.
You're laughing about that stuff. This proves that you think all that stuff is funny and everything.
I don't think you have much respect.
You know what, man? You cats can just...
Yeah?
Nothing. Phil Landry Show. If you are watching right now on Phil TV and HD, you know, our video cast, we have one in the background, Horror of Dracula.
Christopher Lee is in this, and I think Peter Cushing.
Yes, Peter Cushing was always... He was always a part of the ensemble, right, Margaret?
Yes, very good, Phil. Oh, look at you.
What does that mean, Mr. Henry?
I'll do it. It's the group of actors that are surrounding the primary force, which is the director. I'm Margaret Gray.
Living in a dream. Two guns. Woo! Steven Bozell from Corona, California. Here's a guy that we haven't talked to in a while, and Steve's finally gotten his pond refurbished. I know you were doing some work on the pond. The pond is a place where Steve likes to go to think and to, I don't know, just to kind of chill out from the day. And a lot of things that have been going on with you, Stephen, as we head into the new school year. I know the kids are now kind of kicking up in class, aren't they? Where's April Junior going?
She's going to be up at CK Corona, you know, high school now, and we're very proud of her and very proud of the things that she's been able to achieve. But you know, it's getting to be now, Phil. As a young woman, she's going to be more and more. Oh wow, I'm kind of nervous being on the show.
Well, you haven't been with us for a while, Steve.
It's great being back with you. She is going to be more and more opinionated.
Well, hey, welcome to the world, you know, the world of teenagers. I had a teenage daughter, and, buddy, there wasn't anything friendly about that at all. Not too much fun.
Well, I'm hoping, I'm trying, I'm praying that we see eye to eye on a lot of things. You know, I support Donald Trump. She can't see that. She hates, I'm telling you, she hates him. She's got a real, I mean, she really hates this guy. And it scares me sometimes, the things she says.
Well, you don't think she's going to become somehow radicalized?
No. I mean, my daughter's, she's a good girl, and she'll be a good woman. But, man, she hates his guts. And I remember one morning she got up and she, this is hard to say. One morning she was cleaning up some of Pepper's dog do. We got a little small, we got a schnauzer. Pepper, and it had done it right out here in the back.
We've got an awful lot of talk on this show about bowel movements. It's really bothering me.
What's that?
Nothing. We had Reverend Castorini talking about half-full diapers. Now you got your daughter scooping up dog dump, you know.
Well, you know, it happens.
I know it does happen, but I'm not trying to... I ain't doing it on purpose or anything. That's what you're trying to say?
No, I'm not saying you're doing it on purpose.
I didn't listen in and go, hey, let's talk about dog... Get my daughter to go outside and do it and scoop it up. What I'm saying is she scoops them up and put it in a bag, and she said, boy, I'd just as soon be putting this into President Trump's morning oatmeal. And I said, oh, God. And she went, ha, 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 and she laughed. And so, I've got these issues that I got to deal with. And they're tough ones. And they're ones that will not leave me alone. And now, you said something, Mr. Henry, that she leapt all over it. And that's why I've got a little issue with you.
It's about time.
Yeah, I'm telling you, a lot of parents are going to call in and talk to you about some of the things been this school year.
What issue do you have with Phil?
I'm really interested. What is this?
Well, you said on your Twitter feed that it's very probable that Mike Pence is gay. And my daughter seized on that. She goes, Mr. Henry said that Mike Pence is gay. And I said, why did he say that?
May I explain?
Well, she already explained it.
May I explain it for myself?
Yeah, but she explained it.
May I explain it for myself?
You're going to explain it to yourself.
No, he wants to explain it so it's clear.
I think she made very, very...
He wants to Hey, I'm going to come to your house, and if you think Erica Dorton is scary...
Okay, goddamn.
All I want to say is this. It is a very widely held opinion by many, including some in the mental health field, that people who are particularly homophobic, men who are particularly homophobic, who are particularly... against the idea of gay men, homosexuality, who are really pointed in their opposition to that, could very well be closeted homosexuals themselves.
Okay, and so you did say that.
What do you mean, did I say that? That's the intent of what I said.
Okay, so that means I'm a homosexual? Because that's what my daughter said to me. She said, Dad, you can tell me I love you and I'll always love you. Are you gay? She said, are you gay as a $3 bill? I said, that ain't even how you say it.
Your daughter said that to you?
Yeah, because I've spoken out against the gays. And I haven't said anything more than they can't force me, okay? They can't force me to allow them to boycott my store. See, that reduces my freedoms to have them in my store.
What?
What I'm saying is, if the gays boycott my store and straight people join them, that I don't have, my rights have been denied me.
What rights have been denied you?
General, what rights have been denied you?
Because I have the right to have straight people come into my store, and if the gays convince them not to come in my store, they've...
Oh, you know something? That's the tortured logic that's being used by a lot of you fundamentalist Christians.
I am not a fundamentalist Christian. I'm very conservative. I would not call myself a fundamentalist Christian.
Are you a Christian?
Yes, of course, but I'm not all Bible banging all over the place. I'm very modern. I have very modern ideas, and, I like to be souped up. I think I'm kind of souped up, and I wear my hair, I kind of swoop my hair back in a jet stream style. You know?
Yeah, and you said that you liked the whole idea of the Handmaiden Tales because the sex is crisp.
No, I didn't. That was Larry Grover. Oh, shit.
All right, we're talking here with Steve Bozell. So you got a problem with your daughter because or a problem with me.
More like a problem with you.
Yeah, because I had said, it seemed... Well, see, Vice President Pence, do you know the origin of this?
No, I don't. I know that you said you thought Pence was gay.
The origin of it is that President Trump said... He was talking to some legal scholar or something. New Yorker magazine quoted him as looking at Pence and saying, this guy, I'd like to hang them all. And I thought, well, that's extreme homophobia.
Yeah, you don't know if he said that.
Well, that's what Trump said he said.
Well.
He ain't denied it. I'll tell everybody that way. He has not denied it.
You said, let me pull you that way.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me.
Forget about how I'm mispronouncing stuff. That's what he said, according to New Yorker. The quote was overheard and reported in the New Yorker magazine, and if Pence said that, yeah, I think there's an extreme amount of homophobia there to the point where maybe he's got some, something to deal with.
Well, my daughter quoted that and said, yeah, Mike Pence is probably gay, and Dad, are you too? Because you were talking about how they don't have the right, gays, they don't have the right to not shop at your store and everything. And I said, man, you got it all balled up.
No, that's exactly what you said. You said if you had a store...
If I had a store, I don't want gays there, but if I don't want them to convince straights not to be there.
You don't want them to convince straights not to be there.
How are you going
to
stop them from doing that?
You'd have to go into one of their little conversations and say, don't listen to him.
Well, what I'd like to do is have a cooling off period of, say, 6 months so that straight people don't talk to gays, so they won't be convinced not to shop.
God. What an idiot, man.
That's about the dumbest thing I ever heard.
I'm trying to get the words to come out the way
You always got a problem with the words coming out of your mouth the right way, don't you?
That's not the only thing you got a problem getting out of your mouth. And if you don't mind me saying...
How dare you? Just as Miss Gray would say, how dare you?
Yes, but when I say how dare you, it means something. You saying it, it sounds, well, it's not a defense. Because you do have problems getting some things out of your mouth.
Can we stop and stick with the point?
The point that I'm trying to make here is that my daughter said to me, hey, Dad, you may be gay because you're opposed to gays, you know, having the rights. And I said, I don't mind gays having rights. I don't like to have them hanging around my straight friends and talking to them about how they shouldn't do business with me. And the next thing you know, the only business I'm going to have is some two boyfriends coming and saying, would you build me a mansion on Malibu Beach? And I'm like, shit, never mind.
And what's the language?
Well,
so you don't want to have to build a mansion on Malibu Beach for two gay guys, because why?
Because I can't afford it myself.
Well, now we get down to it. You resent them for their economic success.
And you know that gay people, gay men in particular, and lesbians, all are financially, generally, very, very well off.
That's the part I don't understand. Because if God was looking out for me, he'd give me the money to be able to afford a mansion, and not two guys that pretend like one's the guy and pretend that one's the gal. You know?
Yeah, by the way, is that a bumblebee?
Yeah, we got bees here. Look at that bee. Yeah. Beautiful day. It's a beautiful day here at my pond. Whew.
Talking to Stephen Bozell. He is with B&B Construction in Corona, California. He's out near his pond there on his property. By the way, have the fires been... you haven't had any problems out there, have you?
No, we have not, Mr. Eddie, because, you know, we did a lot of fire abatement. And we did have those small little fires in the canyons last summer. And our hearts and our prayers and our everything goes out to... Well, not everything. Our hearts and our hearts and prayers and our prayers go out to everyone in Northern California and everybody who's been affected by these terrible, terrible fires. And all I ask is that, you know, I'm done with all the water drops over my property, and I can only hope and pray that when they do water drops over some other man's property, they're not BA in the, you know, sticking their bare ass.
I can't believe that's still a problem in the middle of all of this.
No, I don't. I think that was probably those guys giving you a hard time, Steve, because you're asking for all these water drops probably unnecessarily.
Oh, yeah, right. I've got a canyon back there that could go up at any minute, and all I asked them to do is go out in the ocean and suck up some water and dump it on top of it.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know, Margaret, that that's the case, but the point is very well made. They probably got too much on their hands, too much on their minds, and too much to do to be sticking their rear ends out the window and bare-assing somebody else. You?
Yeah, me what?
You seem to be a ripe target, you know.
Oh, right.
Well, they didn't have a lot to do, let's put it that way.
Well, I'm hopeful that they will show a little bit more respect and not BA me. And number two, I'm hopeful that I'm not going to be targeted by any business now because I was going to call her my girlfriend, my daughter.
Well, that's very revealing.
Wow.
No.
Wow, man.
All right, wait. Margaret.
All right, I'm sorry. I was kidding.
I'm hopeful that my daughter is not going to spread the word that I think, you know, because you said Pence is gay because he's against gays. People are going to think I'm against gays and I'm gay. And I'm going to want them not have shop in my store. Now I forget how to...
You kind of lost your track of it, huh?
I forget how to think about it.
Yeah, well, you know what? You can't get the words to come out of your mouth right.
I'll remember what you said, General, that those aren't the only things not coming out of my mouth right. I will always remember that.
Don't get too emotional, all right? We've got a lot of great shows to do with you, and you have a long life to live.
Yeah, well, you guys... No thanks to you guys.
I think that it's going to be fine, and we do, as you said, we do hope for the best for everybody affected by the fires, and I think that Vice President Pence, he has his problems to deal with. I don't necessarily think they are your problems. That's something you have to talk with your daughter about, or your girlfriend.
Yep. Oh, see, there he goes, you know.
He was only kidding.
No, he was not kidding. Every time you think that I'm gay for my daughter?
What the hell are you talking about, man?
I'm only kidding. I was talking...
Steve Bozell from Corona, California, a real asshole.
Well, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
We're going to see you guys back here, tomorrow. And don't forget to get your backstage pass. Subscribe to the Phil Hendry website, philhendryshow.com. 30,000-plus hours of material. Our new Miami archives there up and running, too.